Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Dr. Niall Breen, who is a GP at the Portmarna Clinic, is with us here for this week's Ask the GP. How are we doing, Niall? All good?
Doing well, yeah. Doing well,
okay, listen, before we start with the listener questions, which is 087 1400 106, I want to talk to you about the HRT scheme, the fact that we're hearing it's going to be free to women from January, and the pharmacist's claims today that, you know, in some cases people still could be paying up to about 1200 a year. So what are the GP charges for access to the HRT scheme?
Yeah, well, it varies really. So the devil will be in the detail on this. So as far as I'm aware, we haven't really been briefed on exactly what's happening in January. But if you look at the statement, I think it kind of says that after it has been prescribed, the medication shouldn't cost the person who's been prescribed for anything. But as I say, I haven't seen more detail. To come to us, it probably would be a standard charge. Sometimes for an initial consultation to talk about HRT, there can be an extra charge because it takes a bit longer. You have to go through an awful lot of things to make sure that the HRT is safe for the person that you're prescribing it for. And you also kind of need to set up and make sure that you have appropriate follow-up in place. So some people cannot get HRT. Now, that's quite a small number. But if you prescribe it for someone erroneously, it could have quite a negative effect. So practices differ. I don't claim to speak for other GPs, but we generally like to do quite a long initial consultation, which we charge more than a general consultation fee for that. And we do like to see people as follow up at least every 6 months. And if we're doing anything, you know, that we're a little bit cautious about for somebody, we'll often like to see them after 3 months. And that's purely for their safety.
Yeah. So it's the GP, I suppose, visit or, you know, a revisit. That's what people are paying for. There's no other additional charges that we know of.
Not that I'm aware of. So just to kind of compare to the free contraception scheme.
Yeah.
If somebody comes into me to talk about contraception, I fill out a form and we do get reimbursed for that. So it doesn't sound like that's what's happening here. And the medication is free when you're prescribing the contraception within certain age groups. So it doesn't quite sound like exactly that that's what's happening here. Usually when there's a change like this, we get briefed by our union and by the ICGP, and that hasn't happened yet. So
you're still waiting to get that detail?
I am indeed.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a medical question for Dr. Niall Breen. This listener is wondering, can they get a celiac test at their pharmacy, or does it have to be from the doctor?
You probably could get it at a pharmacy, but if I was going for a celiac test, I would definitely go and get a sample from my GP. I suppose the reason being is if you're looking for a celiac test, it's because you think perhaps you have it or you have some symptoms. So we can check for other things at the time. We can take a more complete history. And as well as that, if you're getting a celiac test done, sometimes people will stay away from gluten in the lead up to that, and that can give you a false result. You might say I would say this, but I would probably go along and get it done with my GP, because then he or she is responsible for following it up and doing whatever further testing you may need after that.
Okay. This listener recently had their bloods done and also asked for a prostate blood test. They're 52. The result was a little higher than the normal, and they're wondering, should they be concerned?
Well, when we're looking at somebody's prostate health, there are kind of four broad things we look at, and the blood test is only one of them. We also want to know, does somebody have symptoms of prostate disease? Do they have a family history of prostate disease? And what is their physical examination like? That's a digital rectal examination. Okay, so there's kind of four components to it, and the PSA, the blood test, is just one of those. So when we would often see people with a marginally elevated PSA, it does not by any stretch mean that someone has a cancer in every case. So I would be interested to know what follow-up that person has planned for them.
Well, presumably if they've had the blood test with their GP, if the GP's concerned, they'd highlight that with them.
They would. And some people run a slightly high PSA for reasons that we don't quite understand. Getting the PSA done, we almost always will combine it with the rectal exam. most people don't particularly relish that. It's gloved hand, bit of gel, index finger into the back passage to feel the prostate, and it gives us a lot of information. So when we put all those components together, we can then decide. So a marginally elevated PSA isn't necessarily something worrisome, but it is something that does need follow-up.
This listener, just back to the HRT, they have the implant, which is very costly to insert, and when renewing after 3 years, remove and insert a new one. The implant itself costs about 180 quid. I think my GP charges something like about 200 for removal of the old one and insertion of the new one. I'm wondering, is this now free?
Well, I suppose it goes back to what we said at the start, really. The detail on what has been agreed and what the legislation is will tell us that, really. I would imagine, from what I have read, from what the minister has said, is that the medication itself won't cost the person who's it has been prescribed for. But if they have to see their GP to remove it, if the GP isn't getting reimbursed to remove whatever implant is there, then the patient will probably have to will probably be responsible for that cost.
Okay, but you're waiting to find that out.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it will be interesting to see what the actual details are on that.
Listener is 61. Their overall cholesterol is 7.4. The good cholesterol is 2.2, and the bad is 4.9. They weigh 8 stone, have no health issues, and not on any medication. Should they be taking statins, or any idea on how they can reduce their numbers?
So what we normally do is we divide the good cholesterol into the total, and we get a ratio, and we put that person's age, their gender, the result of that ratio, other information like their family history, blood pressure, into a thing called a Q risk, and that gives us a percentage, and that helps us to decide whether that person needs a statin. It'd be very important to know whether that's a man or a woman.
Yeah, they don't say, actually.
Without actually spending a few minutes and going through the mathematics of it, I couldn't say off the top of my head, but a high cholesterol, sometimes there can be a genetic component to it. Sometimes your good cholesterol is a bit higher. So the person wants to know, should they take a statin? I'm afraid to say the short answer is I don't know, pending a Q-risk scoring system being done.
We need more details about that.
Yeah, and the person should get a Q-risk scoring system done as well.
087 1400 106 is the number. This listener says their husband, who's in his early 50s, has awful smelly burps and breath. It's like rotten eggs, or you might remember the smell of the stink bombs. Any advice for him?
Okay, so it is called halitosis. Okay, it's quite a common thing. We do see it in general practice a lot. I would say that definitely dentition being checked is really, really important, first of all. They say using different mouthwashes help. Brushing your teeth and not rinsing your mouth out immediately afterwards, apparently, I think it has something to do with the bacteria. Not smoking, watching all the kind of spicy food, not drinking alcohol to excess. All of that type of stuff is really, really important. If it's very persistent, it might be worth getting a dental check or a check with your GP to make sure that that person, because sometimes you can get retained food in behind kind of tonsillar tissue. It's not necessarily a disease or something, anything, but it can sometimes cause that real malodorous sort of breath. There's quite a few things, kind of conservative things that you can do there. And hopefully they work for him.
Okay. This listener doesn't want to rely on sleeping medication. They feel they need it, but they're wondering, are there alternatives?
So when people ask about alternatives, the common one that people will ask us about are medications like melatonin that you can buy over the counter in America and other places. The difficulty with it is it can be difficult to get the dose right. So some people might find that they're okay on 2 milligrams of melatonin. Some people need more than that. Sleep hygiene is something that crosses our radar in general practice a lot. So things that people do, they probably don't realise, drinking tea late into the evening, drinking coffee late into the evening, using a screen in bed, having a television in your bedroom, using your phone right before you go to sleep. All sorts of things like that all contribute to it, as do things that people don't even think about, like ambient noise. Do they have a partner who snores? Do they have children who are up at night? There's loads of factors to it that people can actually control. And if they are having difficulty despite doing all that, then it is something that it's worth talking to us about.
This listener, Niall, says their mum had colon cancer. They're wondering, is it genetic and should they get anything checked?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would say that you probably would need a good bit more information there. Okay, so it depends on the age that the person actually was diagnosed with colon cancer with. So it'd be very important that they check with the team in the hospital in relation to that as to whether family members should be screened. We're seeing more and more colon cancer in younger and younger people all the time, which is so it's something that we're quite alert to, and that we're probably sending more people for colonoscopies now than we did years ago. In relation to that texter, I suppose it would be important just to get a little bit more detail. There are genetic forms of colon cancer where family members absolutely should get screened and checked out. But again, it's quite a wide topic and probably does need the expertise of the person who's looking after that person's mother, I think they said, was it?
Yeah, their mom. Yeah, that had it. They also don't say their age either, actually. So presume that might have some indication.
It would. And we know smoking can contribute to it as well. So it would depend on a number of factors like that. I think if you think you might need a colonoscopy, then it's probably worth going and talking to your doctor about
it. Okay. This listener says they recently turned 40 and they're wondering, should they go to their GP to get a health check? If so, what should they ask to be done? They have a history of heart trouble in their family and they work in quite a highly stressful job.
So again, this is really, really topical and something we get asked all the time. And so a health check, I suppose, that's where you're going to a clinician and you're asking them to look for things in you where you have no clinical signs of those. Okay. And there are actually very few diseases in medicine where we can do that. So we can do that with breast check. We can do that with the cervical cancer screening service. As to whether somebody should get a general check, it's a hard question to answer because we don't want to discourage health seeking behavior. Now, again, I don't know if that person is a man or a woman. A lot of men of that age group, they very rarely have cause to go to their GP, like they're not having children themselves. A lot of men aren't on any medication, contraception, etc. So it's probably no harm if you're worried to get a very basic set of blood tests done and go along to see your GP for a checkup. But as far as I'm aware, for a well person, there isn't really a very clear guidance as to how often they should go along to get a routine examination and bloods done.
Okay, but is there anything in particular they should ask for, or does the GP just decide that?
I think if they go and just relay their symptoms or what they're worried about, and then not in a paternalistic fashion, but their GP will kind of help decide with them a set of bloods to do.
Okay, just finally, is surgery possible to correct flat feet in adults?
You can get surgery for flat feet. I think it's pretty invasive. I haven't seen any patient get it in my own surgery in a long, long time. You can get all sorts of insoles and kind of fancy things now for flat feet. So I really think I would be thinking about surgery as a last resort, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic. Niall, thanks a million for coming in to answer listener questions. If we didn't get to yours, we'll hang on to it though, and we will put it to Niall next Monday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.